Hey everyone, and welcome to yet another episode of the Irish Knicks Fan Podcast, where we talk about beer, basketball, and business, and not necessarily in that order. I am your host, Brian Evers, so let's get right into it. In this episode, we're going to talk a little bit about the extremely frustrating and kind of confusing loss that we had against the Phoenix Suns last night. Some very questionable game management from our coach, and something that I'm definitely going to have to address with a bit of a ranty rant. And then I want to talk a little bit about the importance of taking the long view, kind of zooming out and having the right perspective, and maybe even the importance of some self-preservation in the name of, you know, living to fight another day. So let's see where this takes us. Buckle up and let's go. So right from the jump, this was a very unusual game. They were trying to bring Mitch back into the starting lineup, and he kind of looked like somebody who had not held a basketball in 3 weeks. He still had some big blocks and some defensive plays, but I think that's very instinctual for him. So even when he's completely out of rhythm, he's going to pull some of that off. But yeah, he looked shit, basically. And I think Tibbs realized it a little too late, probably early into the second, where he reverted back to our guy Sad Boy Sims and some of the more familiar starting lineups that have actually bared fruit over these last few games. I don't think that was an accident, that once we reinstated the guys that had already built some chemistry this year, to date, that the games all of a sudden became competitive again. I do have to say that before I absolutely tear our coach apart for some very questionable rotation decisions, that one of the best things in this game for me, like one of the highlights, was to see Quinton Grimes get some meaningful minutes. He's got one of the prettiest jump shots you'll ever see. Every time he lets it go, it looks like it's going to go in. And he had 8 assists to go along with 10 points as well. So not bad for somebody who's working his way back from an injury and who was kind of lauded as our potential like secret weapon of sorts going into this season. So apart from a couple of other things I could point to, the only other positive that I could highlight here is that even though it was one of the most disjointed and frustrating and honestly just downright disgraceful team performances that I've seen from our guys this year, Jalen Brunson had an absolutely outrageous game. He didn't seem to care that he was the only one up for this game today. Finished the game with 27 points. That was to lead all scorers, and had a number of huge plays. There was one in particular that I really liked where he set the guy up for a killer crossover, stopped on a dime, and just shot his patented floater in the paint. I did see a stat during that game that apparently he leads the NBA in that area with 57%. He's automatic once he gets into those kind of in between kind of crafty areas, like close to the basket. And to go into a game like this where nobody else on your team decided to even get off the bus and just show out, and it says to me a lot about his character and a lot about who he is, not just as a player but as a person, that he had his terrible game the day before or a couple of days before against the Warriors, and he was hell-bent on reminding everybody that this is the standard that he sets. This is the tone and the leadership and just the overall execution that he holds himself accountable to. So regardless of the fact that this was an absolute dumpster fire of a game for us, Jalen, it wasn't your fault. Even just to look at some of the other box scores, RJ played 27 minutes, had 12 points, 2 assists, 4 rebounds. He's definitely still sick. Looks completely out of the flow and of the offense. And every single shot just looks like there's no chance it's going to go in. At one point, the announcers were even taking pity on him, saying that he had only scored 1 out of his last 23 three-pointer attempts. And when he finally made one, they seemed actually relieved for him, which is never a good sign when it's like the opposing announcers feeling that way about you and your performance. Julius Randle had a very rare off game and only 9 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists. So yeah, I mean, as we go down the line, I mean, Derrick Rose, who actually went off with a toe injury in this game, finished with 7 points, 4 rebounds in 8 minutes of play. I mean, people like Miles McBride got big minutes in this game. Obi Toppin got big minutes, like got 16 minutes and 0 points, 1 assist, 3 rebounds. You get the idea. It was an absolute shit show. But because of Jalen Brunson's like just sheer will and determination, we did actually keep the game quite competitive going into halftime. I think there was only about 3 points in the difference. But then in the second half, to start the third quarter, the Suns reminded everybody why they are true finals contenders this year. I mean, let's be honest, if it wasn't for an absolute all-time collapse in the playoffs last year, they probably would have been in the finals in place of the eventual champs, the Golden State Warriors, but they just couldn't get past Luka. And I think the conspiracy is that they had a bit of a COVID outbreak during the playoffs, which would actually just, you know, fully explain why a team that was one of the only teams to have over 60 wins last year in the regular season and had been playing pretty damn well in the playoffs up to that point just completely fell off a cliff and threw away that series against the Mavericks. So, but yeah, like going into the third quarter, Devin Booker, who had been slowly heating up for the, you know, for the whole game at that point, hit a few three-pointers. Torrey Craig had the game of his life, really. At one point, it scored the last 15 points in a row for the Suns. And all of a sudden, a game that was pretty tight and pretty competitive, regardless of a few no-shows on our side, was a 20-plus point game. We did make a couple of little runs, but every single time that we did, it's like the Suns, similar to the Warriors last night or the night before, they just knew how to apply some extra pressure, hit some extra threes when they needed it, play some extra, like turn up the pressure on defense. Like they were managing the game like people who were had legitimate hopes of potentially winning a championship this year. Which is a lot less than what I could say, a lot more than what I could say about our coach. Because Tom Tibbs, I am disgusted with you. Your rotations in the second half were mind-boggling. You basically sat RJ and Julius for the majority of the second half. And actually, by the 10-minute mark in the fourth quarter, pulled the plug and had Miles McBride running point as if it was already garbage time. I mean, this game was there to be won. It was like 56-51. It was or something in that range. It was a couple of points in the difference at halftime. And, you know, we like it's almost as if he just decided, no, pull the plug. Fuck it. Let's think about the next game. And how can you do that as a coach of a professional basketball team? How can you just give up on the game? I just didn't understand it. It just made no sense. I totally understand that we've had a pretty busy schedule, and I understand that we're playing again tonight. And maybe he was thinking big picture that, you know, I did say going into this five-game road trip on the West Coast that if we could finish 3-5, you know, this, you know, that would be a successful road trip. 4-5 would be pipe dream, but 3-5 would be, you know, a job well done. And maybe Tibbs heard my podcast, because obviously we had our two big wins against the Nuggets and the Jazz. So maybe he was just thinking, you know what, we don't have it tonight.
The Suns are clearly the superior, like, this is their night. Let's just rest up our guys and absolutely torch the OKC Thunder tomorrow. Which is all well and good if we actually win tonight's game. But if we go into to OKC's, on their home floor and have another stinker of a performance, and we've lost, three games in a row after having two big wins, this is on you, Tibbs. Like, I don't understand how in a game that was very winnable, you decide to play Miles McBride 14 minutes. Now, no offense, Miles. You did hit some nice shots, and although your jump shot has like the weirdest hitch in it ever, it did go in a few times for you. Obviously, we've talked about this in the past with, what is best for the Knicks right now. Is it really to try and win, or is it to try and get the young guys as much playing time as possible? But to be honest, I kind of feel like even that, like, is inexcusable in this circumstance, where it just seems so clear to me that going into the fourth, Tibbs just decided, okay, let's take the night off. Let's just sit the guys down, get their knees iced up. This is a long season. Let's protect our guys. Let's do some load management. But we don't have the luxury of that. We're not like a team like, the Warriors, or name any team that the Bucks, like the teams that can afford to basically not take the regular season all that seriously. We're not that team. And for him to think that way and to basically give up on his guys like that, it was infuriating. Like, the numbers, as I read out just there, they don't tell the story, because in order for RJ and Randall to actually have a bigger impact on the game, they would have had to actually be on the fucking floor. Instead, they were sitting with sour faces on the fucking bench, because I guess a regular season win against the Phoenix Suns just wasn't worth competing for. Hey, Tibbs, like, I just don't understand that. It's not my mentality. It's not something. It's not my value system. Like, I can't really make sense of it in my head. Why an NBA team with the aspirations of actually being quite good this year, when they're going up against a team without Chris Paul and some other key players, and basically we're playing a bunch of nobodies with Devin Booker, decided that this was the game they were going to sit on their hands and not actually try to compete. It's like, either we want to go for this and try and recapture some of that magic from 2 years ago when we finished with the fourth seed and went into the playoffs with such high hopes, or we want to be, maybe a fringe play-in tournament team, or even start the tankathon. But like, this just has to, you have to decide, Tibbs. You have to decide what type of team you want this to be. And if you want my honest opinion, I think he has to go. I think this coach is a relic of a different time. I think that basketball was played differently when he was the head coach of the Bulls, for example. He's supposed to be a defensive-minded coach, but somehow we've went from being the top, within the top five in defense, to 22nd this season. And if he's not going to bring that kind of defensive scheme, what is he actually bringing? Because we know it's not fucking offense. So I don't know. I would never lobby for anybody to lose their job, but I don't think he's the right fit with these players. I really don't. And last night, I've been trying to sit on this for as long as possible, because I've been hopeful that he would just figure out some of these rotations and just make some better decisions down the stretch. But in a game like this, where by halftime, even though we'd played really poorly by our newly established, pretty consistently decent standards, to just punt on the game so blatantly, and to, you know, give Miles McBride, who, like, again, no offense, Miles, but, like, is never going to have any impact in actually winning a basketball game, so many minutes, sticking with people like Isaiah Hartenstein, who is having one of the worst games I've seen him have so far this season, like giving Obi basically no minutes and no opportunity to make any kind of an impact on the game, like sitting our two best players for the majority of the fourth quarter. Like, what was the goal? Like, to just not show up at all? Like, you might as well have just sat everybody and just, like, called it what it was, a fucking intentional choke job. Like, it was, I don't know, it just didn't sit well with me. You know, this is not how you build a winning culture. This is not how you compete. This is not how you kind of establish yourself as an underdog with high upside, when you have a literal, like, a golden opportunity to defeat a team like the Phoenix Suns, and you were right there, and then something doesn't go your way, and the league gets, like, out to 20, or, you know, between 16 and 20 for, like, the first half of the third quarter, and you just think, fuck it, let's just go home. Like, let's just take our ball and go home. I don't understand it, Tibbs. And like, unless the big grand, like, the big picture was to just, you know, it was self-preservation, was rest and recovery, and was fully focused on, you know, the guy showing up at 100% tomorrow, or, well, tonight in this case, to, you know, to make an absolute example out of the OKC Thunder, then maybe I'll eat my words. Let's see what happens. Let's see how the game progresses tonight. Let's see if all that rest and, you know, self-preservation actually results in the result that we're actually going after. Because if we lose tomorrow's game, and if you think this is me frustrated, just wait until the next podcast. If we go out tomorrow/tonight and absolutely shit the bed after just intentionally taking the L, which, even just saying that out loud, a team that I'm so invested in, a team that every single one of these players, like, I really am truly deeply invested in their, you know, long-term development as NBA players, a team where it has had such a special place in my heart for my entire adult life, basically since my 16th birthday, so literally, like, almost 17 years at this point. I just will never be okay with us intentionally throwing away a game when it was there to be won. And that's the bottom line. So when we come back, and I've taken a bit of a cold shower, I will come back and give you guys a little bit of my thoughts around that very thought of self-preservation, rest and recovery, and maybe even through me seeing red right now, I can reframe this as an exercise in taking the long view and playing the long game. So I'll be back shortly. And I'm back. So I've taken a few deep breaths and a cold shower. No, not really. But I have had a little bit of a crisis as to trying to figure out how I'm going to reframe the second part of this podcast. I had gone on a little bit of a ranty rant when it comes to taking ownership of your own life and never losing sight of the fact that you can influence the outcome, and that just a resignation and this idea that it is what it is just something that will never sit right with me. But then I realized that I was just treating this podcast as more of a therapy session than an actual outlet that would provide any value to the listeners. So I scrapped it and went and tried again. So I guess what I was trying to get to with this episode was to kind of talk about the importance of playing the long game and how easy it is to get kind of blinded by the constant pursuit of what you think It's the most important thing, the center of your entire universe. These short-term goals have a funny way of feeling that way, right? And I mean, even this podcast episode as a result, as a perfect example, I had 6 or 7 different ways I wanted to take this part of the podcast, and I just couldn't decide because I know the feeling that I'm trying to purvey, but I just couldn't find the words, and it's been really frustrating. But I think what has given me such a visceral reaction to last night's game was just that sense of complete resignation and just like pulling the ripcord when there was still some fight left in that game. And I think a lot of people do that in their own life. I think that like it is fair to say that there are a lot of people that you are probably pretty familiar with in your own life that you know, have settled for a relationship that they know doesn't challenge them anymore or doesn't create the nourishing, conscious partnership that they crave, but it is what it is, you know. Or there are other people in your life that I think are in a job, you know, are in a job that they hate, or you may even be one of those people right now. But I guess it's twofold, right? So on one side, I wanted to portray that, you know, and I wanted to really articulate as clearly as possible that you do have the power to change the ultimate outcome of your circumstance. You do have the power to take accountability of your own life, make some better decisions, build some better routines and systems, and actually put the building blocks in place, and you know, you put the blinkers on, as I always say, and you know, 5 or 6 years from now, the person that you were when you started this journey is pretty much unrecognizable. But then on the other side, it's, you know, having the awareness and almost like this zen like approach to these scenarios where you think, well, you know what, that was just one bad day. And one bad day or one bad game doesn't equal a bad life or a bad season, right? That actually, with a bit of distance and a perspective that is focused more so on the long term, maybe it was the right decision to, you know, rest our guys last night and, you know, go into OKC tonight and absolutely annihilate the Thunder. Now, we'll see if that actually happens. Or sometimes the sunk cost fallacy, you know, where you think just because you've invested so much time, energy, effort, and so much of your heart into a relationship, into a job, into various different aspects of your life, that even when it's not working out, you just have to see it through. You have to stick it out and you just have to put up with it because, you know, but you've just invested so much time. Yeah, that's all bullshit too. That sometimes you do have to go the complete opposite direction and think self-preservation. How do I protect myself, my energy, you know, that greatness that's inside of me? How do I protect that? Because it's clearly not being nourished in this situation. And I'm never going to flourish if I'm just constantly fighting against myself and my, you know, and the tides and all of the things that are those opposing forces that are keeping me stuck in this place. The only way to get through these things is to just detach and go the opposite way and kind of wash your hands of it and say, nope. In this situation, I choose myself. I choose self-preservation. I choose to live to fight another day. And while it might not be in your nature to think that way, or in my case, I mean, just something that you're actually viscerally opposed to because you don't want to feel like you've actually just given up on something that maybe there's more goodness that can be found there. Maybe if you just try that little bit harder or push that little bit further, if you just gave that little bit more effort, maybe things would turn around. But sometimes that's not the case. And sometimes the hardest decision is to look at a situation objectively and say, nope, what's in the best interest for me and for my long-term future is to take a step back and walk away. And again, like this might be a little bit of projection through the lens of a Knicks game that this early in the season may not even be all that important, especially if we go into OKC and actually blow the doors off them. But I don't know. There was just something there. There was something in how I felt watching the second half of that game that I wanted to share with you guys, that I wanted to implore you to, yes, be focused on your daily routines, your daily structure, your daily systems that are setting you up for long-term continuous success through repeated, compounding, correct action. But sometimes you really do have to, you know, step away and say no. Self-preservation in this particular set of unique circumstances is the right choice. And you need to make sure that while you're striving for greatness, and while you're fighting so hard to make all of these things in your life that you can picture in your head in those quiet moments where nobody's watching, while you're in pursuit of these things, that in all of the other areas of your life, you need to make sure that you're creating enough space so that those things can actually flourish. That ultimately you choose yourself, that there's actually nothing, like there's nothing wrong with being selfish in certain circumstances, that there's actually, it can be healthy. And I actually think that the negative connotation attached to selfishness, you know, by society or them, whoever they are, is just, it's not true. Because sometimes what's in the best service of yourself and where you're destined to be ultimately is to, like, something that sometimes the best decision is to say, no, it's time for me to be selfish. It's time for me to rest and recover. It's time for me to walk away, protect myself, protect my energy, and live to fight another day. So I don't know who needed to hear this today. Hopefully some of you did. And until next time, let's go Knicks!